Chapter 1. Sophie sat across from Dr. Bynes at his usual table at the back of the open pit. She resisted the urge to turn and look for anyone leaning too close, or even staring at them. Being here was a risk in itself because she had no reason to visit him outside a legit clinic. She had to trust he was as worried about observation as she was.
"What changed your mind?" he asked. "You were adamant that the operation was a no-go."
Fear. She didn't want to admit it aloud, but the few days she'd had off after the last case had been filled with dread, waiting for the next attack of the fades. The meds were not working well enough, and if she was experiencing symptoms when she was relaxing, it was only a matter of time before she had a full-on attack in front of her boss.
"You should be happy I agreed," she said. "You've been nagging me about it since I met you. Have you changed your mind? Has some miracle drug been invented so I don't need the operation?"
It came out so cranky she almost apologized, but that would make her sound weak, and that was the last thing she needed him thinking.
"No, the operation is the only way to cure the fades. When will you have time?"
"Never." "I'll book when you have an opening. No major case on my plate right now. I just need a bit of notice."
He looked her over. "Let's go in the back so I can assess you."
He stood and headed for the small room he used as a clinic for his patients. Sophie didn't move. Too many visits to the back room might be noticed. He stood at the door.
"Sophie, come on, I promise it won't hurt. You'll be out of here in 10 minutes.
She slid out of the booth and looked around as she turned to join him. No one was paying any attention. Maybe they'd just gotten used to Bynes receiving odd visitors. Maybe some of them were waiting for their turn with the only decent doctor offering unregistered medical help. The fades wasn't the only condition on the mallet that could make it difficult to keep a job once reported. In the office, Bynes checked her breathing and blood pressure. He didn't comment on either. Then he took a blood sample and placed it in a scanner.
"That will take a bit. So assuming everything is okay, how about in 4 or 5 days?
She laughed. "Before I change my mind?"
"Before you get too busy and have a good excuse to cancel," he said. "Well?
How long do I have to be off?" Now that she'd made the decision, she wanted it over.
"Before you come in, you need to fast for 12 hours. I'm counting on you doing that at work. We'll plan the procedure for the evening shift."
"Total fasting? Like nothing but water?"
"Stim juice is fine, just no heavy flavoring."
"I can do that. I'm more worried about taking time off."
"How are the meds working?"
Bynes asked as he checked something on his pad. "They aren't. I'm taking twice as many as I should." The machine beeped. Bynes checked the results and nodded to himself.
"Okay, don't get sick in the next 5 days. Come here at end of shift and I'll take you to the clinic. You should be recovered in 3 days.
"And if I can't get that many days off? I'm not planning to go back to work until I'm ready, but shit happens. If I get called back in, what do I do?" Having to explain she was recovering from surgery that wouldn't show up on her records would be as bad as declaring she had the fades in the first place. "I mean, you could put something in my record to explain the surgery, right?"
"You want me to arrange that?"
She almost said yes, but then thought through the ramifications. "No, too many ways for that to go wrong, and too many people involved in covering it up. I don't like owing anyone a favor."
"You need a day. Just one. But you'll be in pain, and you can't take anything for it. You'll have to avoid excessive physical activity, because if you dislodge the device, you could lose your sight or ability to speak.
then it wouldn't be long before she was dumped in for processing into nutrients, or spaced like any other dead body. Volunteering to do desk work wouldn't fly if they called her on a case. She would have to deal with the situation if it came up. Sophie didn't hold out any hope that things on the mallet would stay calm for more than 5 minutes. Okay, whatever I have on my plate now will be cleared in the next 5 days. Anything else?
The meds, Bynes said. It's not just yours. I'm seeing more of my patients deteriorating at the legit clinic and here. The expiry dates must be wrong. I don't know why it's happening. We're prescribing stuff that should be good for a year or more, and they're running at half strength or less.
Why would someone fix the dates?
The usual, money or power. But it could be other reasons. People do dangerous things for the worst and best reasons. Someone looking for vengeance or just wanting to kill one person and hide the murder with a lot of collateral damage. Because they think they're saving us from some horrible fate by winnowing the gene pool.
Not great for anyone. Can you find out anything else without getting caught? Bynes put his pad to the side and looked at her for a moment. Then, with a shrug, he said,
I'll try, but you're the cop.
And a victim. It would be easier if someone reported it.
She shook her head when he started to protest.
I said it would be easier, but I get that you can't. I'll do what I can, but official cases will take precedence, and I don't have a lot of spare time now that I'm prepping for an operation.
I could reschedule your surgery, Sophie. Not everyone can choose a permanent fix for their condition. Sometimes the meds are the only way to manage.
I don't need a guilt trip right now. I said I'd do what I can. What about the elites? Any chance they might be affected?
That's more like it. Yes, the mallet doesn't discriminate with chronic conditions. And maybe it's an elite doing it.